Welcome back to the podcast, guys. It's Coast to Coast Sports. I'm Lucas, and I'm here with my friend Bryce. Bryce, how are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Finally glad to be back, get episode two in. It's been a while since the first episode. You know, you were out of pocket, and I was traveling to go spend time back home in Tennessee, so I'm glad to be back.
That's awesome. How was that trip back home? Was it good to see everybody again?
Oh, yeah, it's always good to go back and see the family. Definitely enjoyed it. Got to go see one of my boys play high school football on a Friday night.
That's awesome.
So that's always fun. Get to go back home and especially go to a small town in Tennessee where basically they treat COVID like it doesn't exist. So, you know, it was definitely weird walking in Walmart and not having to wear a face mask. So
that's nice. That's nice, though. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah, so let's jump right in here. I think we're going to be kicking it off with some baseball news. Trade deadline was a big hit for the Padres. What were your kind of thoughts on the trade deadline?
The trade deadline as a whole, I hardly expected any trades. I didn't think there were going to be any just for the fact of you're only getting – virtually, if you're a playoff team, a 2 to 3 month rental. Mm-hmm. If he's on a 1 year deal, and so I just with COVID and everything, I didn't expect it to be active. But there was really only one team that was active, and that was the Padres. I mean,
yeah,
adding Mitch Moreland, Clevinger. I believe they may have added one or two other players, but they, the Padres really said, "Look, we're going in, and we're going in now." And I don't think they gave up a lot. I mean, they didn't give up any of their top four prospects to get one of those two guys. And Clevinger's arguably a top 15 pitcher in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's going to come in and be your number one rotational guy. And I think they're like, look, we're kind of shocked that we're in a win now situation. So let's go get Clevinger, who's still going to be here for a little while. So that way that can set us up to win for the next couple years. And I think also look out for the Padres to be a busy offseason team. Looking for trades, maybe go out and sign a guy like Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I think the Padres are made themselves a lot more appealing to Trevor Bauer, actually, because Mike Clevinger and Trevor Bauer were great friends in the Indians program when they were both in Cleveland together. But yeah, I think the Padres made a lot of smart moves without giving up a lot of, like what you said, Bryce, a lot of their depth in prospects. I think that the addition of Nola and Jason Castro that they got from – Nola was from the from Seattle, and then Castro from the Angels. It really filled that gap that they needed offensive-wise in that catcher position. Nola has 2 to 3 more years left on his contract, but he's a guy that can kind of fill in anywhere in the infield, which is nice for them. And I think they just kind of button up a lot of those loose ends that they're going to be looking at in the next couple of years. And they got a guy in Nola that can kind of fill in anywhere where they need him. They also went out and got Mitch Moreland, like you said, who's been in these types of postseason runs, whether it be with the Texas Rangers or the Boston Red Sox. He's been in these scenarios before. And I think that's what they're kind of missing in that extra level of veteran leadership. They have a guy like Hosmer who's been there before, a guy like Manny with the Dodgers. He experienced that for one season. But I think that's kind of what they were lacking was that veteran leadership that has been there on multiple occasions for multiple times. So I think that was a great pickup. And then the pickup of Clevinger was just amazing. Already is adding to a young staff that's poised to be really well. So I think they did a really good job. But I also thought the haul back that the Indians got was a really interesting and good haul too, which set up a lot of their needs, what they needed. So I think it was a really good trade across the board for both teams, but I think the Padres are going to be the winners of it in the long run.
Yeah, the one player I was kind of shocked that they gave up, which I understand, I mean, to get a guy like Clevinger, you have to give up a decent prospect. But trading away Taylor Trammell, I believe, didn't he go to the Mariners?
Yes, yeah, that's where
he went.
Was
he in the Nola trade?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, giving up a guy like Trammell, I think he's going to be a good outfielder. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I think from what I understand, he's kind of like a Jason Hayward guy. He's fast, can play defense, not an exceptional hitter, but a good hitter. Definitely trading him away isn't good, but if he wasn't even one of your top five prospects, then you got a pretty dang good farm system. So, you know, trading him to try to win now, and then you still got four better prospects than him coming up. Like, the Padres are now set up for the next five years, and with Tatis and Machado, you're definitely set up for the next 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, but then that this last weekend in the A series, they called up their top catching prospect, Luis Camposano. He, I think he went 3-for-4. I think it was with the home run or something like that. It was something pretty gnarly. But he had a great weekend. He actually went on the IR this last weekend. Actually, I think he only played in one or two games. But yeah, I think they got a lot of good things coming down the pipe, and I think they were able to keep a lot of that core. Those core guys that they knew they needed to keep making these playoff runs here in the next couple of years. What was the next thing? MLB awards. Who are you thinking for these MLB awards, Bryce?
It's to me in the National League, it's pretty clear. I think MVP is Fernando Tatis Jr. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't win, there's definitely going to be an outrage, because if he doesn't win, it's going to be all these old time baseball writers and, you know, announcers who just don't like the way he's playing and all the unwritten rules crap. You know, that's why he's not going to get the MVP votes. Definitely Cy Young in the National League. I think it's either Yu Darvish or Trevor Bauer. I mean, they're both sporting very low ERAs, under 2. I think DeGrom maybe has the second lowest. I think Bauer has the lowest, DeGrom's second, and then Darvish is third. But Yu Darvish is 7-2 right now. Trevor Bauer's really been good, but I think with the Reds not being a playoff team, I think they're more likely to give it to a guy like Yu Darvish. In the American League, I think Mike Trout's the clear-cut MVP yet again. Tim Anderson could make a late push, but he's got the average, but just not the home runs and RBIs. And I just do not see another player that's playing like Mike Trout. So I got Trout, and then the Cy Young, I think it's Shane Bieber. He's got the wins. He's got the strikeouts. He's got the ERA. I don't think it's even close. I think it's just clear-cut in both of those for the AL.
Do you have any rookie of the year picks for NL or AL?
I don't. I'm not that knowledgeable about the rookies of the rookies who are playing right now. And I know there's not a whole lot for like the main teams. I don't. I'm not.
What were you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying I don't have any picks for the rookies of the year, just because I haven't really heard of any big rookies that have been playing this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean they're not out there. But I just think it's harder to see those rookies in a shorter season.
Agreed. Yeah, I think I don't really have one for the AL, but my NL Rookie of the Year is going to go to Jake Cronenworth. Guy's been having a monstrous year. Just kind of came up, kind of a guy that you weren't expecting to start hitting the ball really well, and he just started knocking the cover off the ball for the Padres. So he's my guy for Rookie of the Year. My NL MVP has to be Fernando Tatis. I mean, he's arguably the most exciting player in baseball. I think he might be the most exciting player in baseball. He's electric. Every time you watch him, there's just always something good's either going to happen, or he's going to turn something bad into something good just when he's out on that field. Whether it's a defensive play from shortstop, deep in the hole, making a play, turning a double play, it's crazy. Like I said, I kind of agree with you on the NL Cy Young. Trevor Bauer is kind of my guy right now. I think he's just having a great year. I think a lot of what he's had to go through these last couple of years, especially from Cleveland to Cincinnati, and I think he's just kind of started to kind of hone in on who he is as a pitcher. And and I just like that he stands up to Rob Manfred, so I think he should deserve it just for that. My AL has to be Shane Bieber for the Cy Young. He's just having a great year. 7-0, 1.25 ERA. And then my AL MVP, I think, has got to be Mike Trout also. I think the MVPs are pretty self-explanatory in themselves right now. I think this is what the future of baseball is going to be looking like. It's going to be a lot of Mike Trouts and a lot of Fernando Tatises. They're just super fast, hit well, field well, run well, and
I definitely like Tatis's future. I believe Mike Trout, I mean, he's getting close to 30, So I definitely think right now it's his prime years, and he can definitely add on to the MVPs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't really see anybody being better than him in the American League for the next 10 years either. So
I got a question for you, Bryce. Do you think that he's going to be a little bit like a Ken Griffey Jr., never going to win a World Series?
Oh, 100%. He's going to be the best player on a bad team. And the only difference in the case that I would make that Griffey is still going to be better than Trout is Griffey was on that Mariners team that went deep into the playoffs and made it all the way to the ALCS. And who, you know, him, mm-hmm. Young A-Rod, I don't remember if he was on that team or not. But, I mean, that they carried that team to that point and at a time where the Mariners were the laughing stock of the MLB. Mike Trout with the Angels has made the playoffs a couple of times, but even when he has made it, we haven't seen him show up. And the argument with the Angels is Trout's never had any pitching, which is also true. I just think it shows how poor their front office is. That's why I thought Trout should have left. I thought he should have went back home to New Jersey and became a Philadelphia Philly. You know, I think they wasted a contract in Shohei Ohtani. Getting Rendon is nice, but, I mean, you're paying two big superstars to be like, okay, here you go. You know, y'all are our team, and then you don't have any other decent players at the rest of the positions.
Agreed. Well, do you want to fill us in on some NBA news there, Bryce? I have not been watching any of the NBA playoffs. I am not a huge NBA guy, but I know you got some big stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so right now the Lakers won last night against the Rockets. I believe it was 110. Let me look here. It was 110-100. So they're up 3-1. Celtics-Raptors game 7 is tonight, 9 o'clock on TNT. The Celtics were up 2-0. Then the Raptors, OG Anunoby, hit a game-winning shot with 0.5 seconds left in game 3. So then that kind of had the Celtics down for game 4. Raptors took game 4, even the series up. Then Celtics showed they were the better team game 5, and in game 6 was definitely the best game of the playoffs. It was a double OT thriller that the Raptors ended up winning.
Wow.
Thanks to a lucky Kyle Lowry shot. So, you know, game 7 is going to be good tonight. Nuggets Clippers are 3-1. Definitely expecting the Clippers to win game 5 tonight and go to the Western Conference Finals and play the Lakers.
Yeah.
Then the Heat swept the Bucks, so that's where we're at. So it's going to be either Heat against the Celtics or Raptors for the Eastern Conference Finals. Then
Which do you think is a better series?
Clippers Lakers in the West.
Which do you think will be a better series between the Heat?
I definitely think Heat Celtics is probably going to be a 7-game series. I think Heat Raptors. I think the Celtics match up better against the Heat, or the Heat match up better against the Celtics, or the Heat match up better against the Raptors. I think that they could win in 5 or 6 games if they swept the Bucks, but I think the Heat and the Celtics would be a dogfight because the Celtics' inconsistency from their big three. I mean, one night it's Jaylen Brown scoring 30, then the next night it's Tatum, then the next night it's Kimball Walker, but it just always feels like they all can never be on the same page every night. And that's part of the reason why it's 3-3 after they were up 2-0. So, I definitely think Heat-Celtics will be the series to watch. Heat-Raptors, I think, definitely goes in the Heat's favor. But Clippers-Lakers is going to be the most overhyped NBA series of all time because it's LeBron, and then it's the Clippers who signed Kawhi and built the super team around him. So, Definitely, I'm rooting for a Heat-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, and then obviously Lakers-Clippers. But
do you think that there's a shot that we see a Lakers-Celtics series at all?
I definitely think so, and I may sound biased just because I'm a Celtics fan, but I think that the Celtics can beat the Heat, and they probably would beat the Heat, maybe 7 games. But I think it's a good chance, but I don't think it's a high enough chance from – I don't think I'd put money on that just because I feel like the Clippers are a better team than the Lakers. The only way I think the Lakers win is if they can just basically leave Paul George wide open and try to double Kawhi Leonard and then try to force Paul George to score and take out Kawhi and maybe Lou Williams, force the rest of the Clippers team to score. And I don't see them stopping Kawhi. And I think Paul George eventually finds his groove and earns his nickname he gave himself as Playoff P. I've been calling him George Paul like Skip Bayless called him this whole playoffs because he has not been showing up. I think Clippers win probably seven games. I think both series could go seven games. I also could see the Clippers winning in six. But I think just for the ratings, Clippers, Lakers will probably go seven games.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that kind of almost has to go seven games for ESPN to get their money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, is that all you got for us on the NBA side?
Yeah. So I know I'm not a huge NHL guy, so what you got going on in the NHL?
Yeah, well, we're in the conference finals right now. We got the Vegas Golden Knights and playing Dallas right now. The Stars are actually leading the series 2-1. If you would have told me that at the break that started a couple months ago, I would have never guessed that in a million years. But here we are. The Dallas Stars are playing some pretty good hockey. They started their rookie goaltender last night. He got the job done. They came up big with the overtime goal. And actually only a few seconds into OT too, so that was nice to watch. I didn't have to watch a full OT period. But yeah, the rookie goalies have kind of been the first starts in the postseason goalies have kind of been the talk of this last week and a half. Thatcher Demko, he is a San Diego born guy, grew up here in San Diego playing hockey, and he actually plays for the Canucks, and the Canucks were battling the Golden Knights here over this last week. He had a postseason start at all in his career, and they put him in. They were down in the series 3-1, and they put him in. In the first game, he only gave up one goal. The second game he played, they had a shutout, which then got the series even. And then he didn't give up a goal until the third period, about halfway through in that game 7. He had 123 saves in three games, and Robin Lehner of the Golden Knights had 128 saves in six games. So that's kind of just puts it in perspective on how many shots he was seeing per game. The Canucks offense just did not help him out at all. It was very sad to watch they just didn't have a forecheck to be able to keep up with the Vegas Golden Knights defense. They were just getting smothered all night long. And then back to the conference finals, you got Tampa Bay Lightning versus the New York Islanders. Again, would have never thought in a million years the Islanders would be in the playoffs, but here they are. Tampa Bay is just obliterating them right now. The first game they won 8-2, and then they just won 2-1 last night. So got some good games going on. I think the most interesting finals that we could have for the Stanley Cup would be Tampa Bay versus the Knights. I think that would be a great offense and a great defense going against each other. But as of right now, as it stands, Dallas is leading the series against the Golden Knights. So we'll see.
Heard that. I mean, Predators aren't in it, so, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about hockey. I know I do hate the Dallas Stars, though. Seems like every Preds game I've watched, they end up playing the Stars, and I'm just like, God, I hate the Stars.
That is funny.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into some NFL stuff, bro.
Yeah. I'm ready to talk about some of this stuff.
Oh, man. It feels like, you know, I don't know about you, but, I mean, for me, football is just – I mean, that's my favorite. It's like now we're finally back to football. You know, it's been a long last 7-8 months this year. I mean, 2020 has sucked. But now we got a bright spot. Yeah. There might only be 16,000 fans at stadiums, and some games not any fans. But we have NFL football back. And with that, the Chiefs Texans opened up last night. Chiefs won 34-20, and Patrick Mahomes asserted himself as the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion. Only threw for 211 yards, but he did have three touchdowns and absolutely had one of the best throws I've ever seen dropped in the end zone. It was only like a 10-15 yard pass. I mean, he was just full frontal, face, body facing straight up towards the end zone, sidearms the ball through two guys, and DeMarcus Robinson dropped it, who also dropped another touchdown catch. But the Chiefs really, really dominated the Texans. I mean, it was 31-7 at one point, I believe, and it ended up being 34-20. Texans had some garbage time touchdowns. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs showing that they're probably not going to have a Super Bowl hangover, and I think that's probably why they're the favorites to win it all this year.
Yeah, I agreed. I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night. I was too busy flipping through either the hockey games, or I was catching up on my NASCAR for there for a little bit. But yeah, I kind of flipped it over there just kind of see what the score was. And I think at that point in the game, it was only 14 to something. I can't remember what the Texans had. But yeah, do you want to go into some predictions for how we think this year is going to go in the NFL?
Oh, most just definitely, division, man. I love
division by division.
Love yeah. Preseason picks. Heck yeah.
Do we want to start with the AFC East and kind of work our way down from there? Where do you kind of want to start at?
Yeah, we'll start with the AFC East. So I got the Bills winning the AFC East. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I feel like they just have the best overall roster in the East. I definitely think Patriots have the best coaching staff in the East. But then again, Josh Allen could make or break the Bills season. If he gets better than he was last season, I think they're going to be the clear cut and definitely win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if he either is the same or regresses a little bit, then I definitely think that you could see the Dolphins or the Patriots slide up there. But I think with the Bills defense and adding Stephon Diggs on their offense, they 1,000% win the East. I think the Dolphins probably could be second, Patriots, and then dead last is the Jets.
Yeah. I kind of got a similar one. I got the Bills. I think, like you said, they kind of just have the more complete roster offensively and defensively. Coming in at number two, I might surprise some people with this one, but I'm going to go Dolphins in the number two spot this year. I think that with Tua coming in, I'm a huge Brian Flores guy. I think he's just got a great program going down there. I think the tides are starting to change down there in Miami. They got a beautiful stadium down there that they're playing in every other Sunday. And I think that they have the potential to get there. They have to play their best football all year long to, I think, get to that second spot. But I think that they're one of the only teams that can ever beat the Patriots. So why not put them in second when the Patriots are kind of down? Number three, I got the Patriots just because of they're the Patriots. They're never going to come in last in that division, especially with being in the same division with the Jets. But, yeah, I think the Patriots – I'm not as big of a believer as everybody is with Cam in that Patriots uniform. I don't think he's going to do as well as everybody thinks he is. But I think he does well enough to where he gets picked up somewhere else next year. I think
I was just going to say the one thing with Cam I think that people are overlooking is supposedly coming out of camp that Cam and Belichick are almost like best friends. Supposedly, and there are two opposite personalities. Cam is, you know, flashy, out there, outspoken. Belichick is, you know, as minimal as possible when it comes to being outspoken and out there. Two opposite personalities, but supposedly they are getting along great. And I think I don't think Cam has the weapons. I think he has worse weapons than he did when he was in Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have Christian McCaffrey, and basically all you have is receivers, Julian Edelman. Hopefully N'Keal Harry can be good. But I think Cam surprises people this year. I'm kind of on the opposite side, or more so with the crowd, I guess. I definitely think Cam could put up some numbers.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a Patriot next year. I guess what I'm saying is I think they're going to try to ride this line of being okay to where they have a good enough draft pick to where they can trade down in the draft next year and try to go after a guy like a Lawrence or something like that. I think they're going to try to ride that line to where they can flip over a good draft pick to another top team and send a nice package of players to them. So we'll see. And then, of course, fourth, I got the Jets. Who do you got in the AFC North there, Bryce?
AFC North, I have the Ravens winning the division, but I think this is going to be the best division in football this year. I think the Steelers with Big Ben coming back are competitive. I think the Browns have a bounce-back year. I think the Baker, or not really a bounce-back year, I think they have a playoff-caliber year for the first time in a long time. I think Baker bounces back. I know he was absolute dog crap last year. Odell's healthy. Jarvis is healthy.
The toilets are out of commission.
Yep. And but yeah, I mean, Kareem Hunt's not gone the first eight games, so you have him and Nick Chubb. They added Jack Conklin at right tackle. You drafted Jedrick Wills from Alabama to be your left tackle. So they improve the O-line, and they also added Austin Hooper at tight end. So then you have weapons on weapons on weapons for Baker. Their defense, I know they lost Grant Delpit, their second-round pick, a guy who I was really high on for a while. And then their defense to me is a little bit spotty, but their defensive line is going to be absolute monsters this season. Then last, I got the Bengals. I think the Bengals are one of the bottom five teams in the NFL this year. I'm definitely not on the Joe Burrow hype train. I know a lot of people are. I've seen some people have the Bengals as a 8-8 team, 7-9. AJ Green hasn't shown he can stay healthy. Their defense is not very good. Their offensive line is terrible. So it's basically Joe Burrow running for his life and handing it off to Joe Mixon every play, and then maybe throwing it to Tyler Boyd. So, but I think through those top three teams, it's definitely going to be a good division. But again, I have the Ravens winning it all. Winning the AFC North, I mean.
AFC North, yeah. I got the Ravens again. I mean, nobody can stop Lamar right now. Now, if he gets into the playoffs and does what he did like he did last year, I think we start talking about, is he as good as a quarterback as everybody thinks? But I think in the regular season, he's a great regular season quarterback. I mean, he's got enough weapons around him. He's got his legs around him. His O-line's decent. Got a good O-line. And that's pretty much all you need to be a successful offense in the NFL. Coming in second spot, I got the Browns. I think that they're going to be better than the Steelers. They, like you said, they got a lot of weapons coming in. I think this is kind of Baker's make or break year. As a quarterback in the NFL, I think this is kind of his time to either to step up, or they got to start looking around for their however manyth quarterback and however manyth years. So I think this is kind of his time to show that he's their guy, kind of stop talking and start producing. I just kind of think where they're at right now. And honestly, right now for this third and fourth spot, personally for me, I think you could flip a coin. I don't think the Steelers are a great team. I think that if you go head-to-head Bengals versus Steelers, I think the Bengals actually have the better quarterback in Joe Burrows. I think Ben Roethlisberger is old. And I just am – the Steelers have always been a very QB-operated team. So however good their QB is, however far they're going to go. They've shown that with Mason Rudolph and whoever else filled in for him after that last year. I think they're only going to go as far as their QB can take them. And honestly, I don't think Big Ben can go that far. So I think maybe Steelers, then Bengals. But I honestly think the Bengals kind of need to finish in that lower echelon, get a nice pick, get some weapons for Joe Burrows for the future, and so they can keep going. Who do you got in that AFC South, Bryce?
Before I get to the AFC South real quick, I want to talk about the Steelers. I'm kind of shocked by the Steelers hate, honestly. For me personally, I think they have the best defense in that division. The secondary, the linebackers, the D-line, TJ Watt's a monster, Devin Bush. And look at this team last year when they didn't have Big Ben. They still went 8-8 with Mason Rudolph, who got his head bashed in by Myles Garrett, a guy named Duck Hodges, who was an undrafted duck caller. So, I mean, I just think Big Ben is better than those guys, and they were 8-8. So I think they got to be better than that. I definitely think Big Ben regresses. I think this is his last year of being somewhat of a decent quarterback. But for this year and this year only, I take him over Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is a poor man's Tony Romo. God. But anyways, I'll get to the AFC South now. I just had to address the Steelers hate real quick. But, God, they can
be to be honest, I – To be honest with you, I've never been a huge Steelers guy. So if I got an opportunity to bash the Steelers, I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, man, I just can't handle the Steelers hate right there. AFC South, I got yours truly, the Tennessee Titans winning it. I'll get to that in a second. Finishing second, I have the Indianapolis Colts. Third is the Houston Texans. And last is obviously the tanking Jaguars. Now, why have those teams finishing where they are? The Tennessee Titans. My opinion, we have the best defense in the division, probably a top two or three defense in the AFC. I think our offense is involved around Derrick Henry. If he gets hurt, it's trouble. But he hasn't shown that he hasn't shown any signs of injury so far through his career. Knock on wood. I think Ryan Tannehill keeps the same level of play as he was named Comeback Player of the Year last year. I mean, The only player we lost on offense was our right tackle, Jack Conklin, and we replaced him with our kind of swing tackle, Dennis Kelly, who can play – he was our fill-in guy last year. He can play guard. He can play tackle. He can play virtually anywhere. But we did draft Isaiah Wilson. I expect him to get a lot of playing time throughout the season. But for the most part, the whole offense is coming back. And I just think Tannehill, with all this around him, which is more than he had in Miami, I think he's going to be poised to be successful. Defensively, adding Jadeveon Clowney, I'm not a huge Clowney guy. I think he's been overrated ever since he was drafted. I do not think he was worth the number one. Well, in that draft, he was worth the number one overall pick, but he has not lived up to it. As you see, other guys who have been picked at that spot or lower have better careers. But to that, Harold Landry last year, when he, I believe, before Cameron Wake got hurt, he was averaging a sack a game. Because I think through like 7 or 8 games, he had 7.5 sacks. And so when you have a competent edge rusher opposite of him, then he's going to get pressure. So I think definitely having a superstar player like Jadeveon Clowney, who's great against the run, just puts our defense up there. Kevin Byard's the most underrated player in the league. He's a top two, maybe the best free safety in the NFL. So I love our defense. The Colts could be a sleeper team this year. Watch out for them. I'm not a Phillip Rivers fan. I don't think they're going to be that good with him. But I think given the division, I think their whole team is better than the Texans. So, Phillip Rivers is going to throw a lot of picks, but he's also better than a lot of quarterbacks. So I think the Colts could be in that 8-8, possibly 9-7 spot, and maybe try to squeak into the wild card.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and give my pick for that AFC South. It's pretty similar to yours for pretty much a lot of the similar reasons. The Titans, they got probably arguably the best ground game in the whole NFL with Derrick Henry. Give that guy the rock majority of the time, and it's gonna go someplace. I just love the way he runs. He runs with a lot of authority. Second, got the Colts. A couple of them that I've seen have the Colts above the Titans. Not quite sure what that's for, but I think that Colts are on that second level. I think it's gonna take Phillip about a year, which is all he's got on his contract. To kind of get settled in into that new way of football, because he's kind of switching teams. He's going from anything he's ever known. But we'll see. I think that he has a decent year. I think that he does have a better year than he's had the last couple years in L.A. or San Diego, wherever you want to call it. But I think he has a decent year. Got the Texans. I honestly, if I had came in a couple weeks ago, I would have been hoping. I'm a huge Deshaun Watson guy. I love one is his name Wes Fuller or Wendell Fuller? I forget what
Will
his
Fuller.
Name is.
Will Fuller.
Will Fuller. Yeah, thank you. I like those guys. I'm a huge Texans guy. Not a huge Bill O'Brien guy, but a huge Texans guy. I like Deshaun. Then got the Jaguars. Huge Gardner Minshew guy. Love Gardner Minshew. I just not a great team right now. They don't know where they're going. But I think the Titans kind of dominate this division, honestly. I don't really think there's a lot of debate about who's going to win this division. I think it's pretty much the Titans. You got the AFC West for us, the hardest division.
AFC, yeah, AFC West, I definitely think the Las Vegas Raiders are winning the division in about 10 years. And even that has a question mark. No, definitely have the Kansas City Chiefs winning it, Patrick Mahomes. And after seeing him last night, just reassured everyone that he's the best, not only quarterback, probably the best player in the NFL. With Andy Reid as his coach, with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, he's got a lot of the best weapons in the league. But definitely what shocked me last night was the Chiefs' defense, how well they played. They really got pressure on Watson. They had 4 sacks, but they had a lot more pressure on him than what the sack numbers totaled. I think Deshaun Watson's Deshaun Watson's interception, he was basically being sacked, and he just threw the ball up in the air, and it was picked off. Their front four was absolutely all over the Texans, but I think that's an attribute to the Texans' offensive line being so bad. I definitely don't think the Chiefs have a top The Chiefs are not a top five defense, but they're definitely, I think, probably sixth or seventh. I think they're coached well and they play together. Second, I have the Denver Broncos. I know they lost Von Miller, but I think Drew Lock in their offense is just high powered. I think they're going to be good this year. Great this year. And I think defensively, even still, I mean, obviously losing Von Miller sucks, but you still have Bradley Chubb. They added Drew Casey from the Titans. You have Alexander Johnson, former Tennessee Cat, playing middle linebacker. And you have an above-average secondary, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, and they did add A.J. Bouye in the offseason. So, you know, it's not a scrub defense, but definitely losing Von Miller sucks. Third is I have the Las Vegas Raiders. I think what Gruden and them are building out there is a successful team. I don't think they're a playoff team this year, but I think Derek Carr proves that he can be their franchise quarterback this season. I think he puts up big numbers. I just think in that division it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs. Their defense is underrated. I just would like to see them get some better receivers. I know they drafted Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards out of South Carolina, and you have Hunter Renfrow in the slot. And obviously Darren Waller at tight end, but I just feel like those receivers aren't the kind of receivers who are going to be number one receivers on a team. I just think they need that clear-cut guy that they can go to on a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8, just to get that catch. Dead last, I have the Chargers. I think they have the top three defense in the AFC, but God, their offensive line is terrible. You're starting Tyrod Taylor and then a rookie quarterback. Have Austin Eckler on a lot of my fantasy team, so I'm definitely hoping he has a lot of great games this season. But as he showed last year, he can still get you 20 fantasy points a game and be on a 4-11 or 4-12 team. So, but I just think their offense is bottom five in the AFC. You do have Keenan Allen and Eckler, but their line is terrible, and then you got a rookie quarterback in Tyrod Taylor again. So,
yeah, mine's. Mine's a little bit similar. I kind of have different opinions on the middle part of this AFC West. I mean, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I mean, they're going to be in the top for the next couple of years. Let's just be honest. So just pencil them in for the next about, let's say, 4 years for now. And then I can recant that statement after the 4 years is over. Put them in that first spot. Second, I actually got the Raiders. I think they will make the playoffs this year as a wild card. I'm trying to not be as biased as I can from being a Raiders fan. But I think that this is the year that Derek Carr either shows that he's going to be the quarterback for the next couple years for the Raiders, or this is the year that we need to get rid of him. I'm kind of over with this Derek Carr that gets hurt every time we need him and in a good spot where this is where we pay him the big bucks for, is to step up and lead this team. I think the Raiders actually have one of the most underrated defenses in the whole league. They have the most underrated player on defense, in my opinion, honestly, is Max Crosby. Guy was an absolute beast last year. Just came out, drafted late in the rounds as a rookie last year, and just came out and balled out for his team. So I think that they'll do better than everybody else thinks they will. They helped that wide receiving core. You still got Mike Williams out there, like you said, Hunter Renfrow. You got the couple guys that they drafted, and then I think they got one of the top maybe three running backs in the AFC West, in the AFC, and Josh Jacobs personally. So I think and they got a decent O-line too. You got Rodney Hudson and then Richie Incognito. They got some good guys up front that can block. So I think that they're going to have a better year than everybody's kind of giving them credit for. You know how I said I hate Ben Roethlisberger, Bryce?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, my fill-in after he leaves is going to be Drew Lockett. I hate Drew Lockett. Absolutely despise the man. I cannot stand to watch this kid play. He drives me nuts. So just for that, I'm putting them in third. They are having I think the loss of Von Miller is really going to hurt that team overall. They're having a... I just don't think they're going to do well. Hold on one. They're just not having a great season, and I don't think that they're going to be doing as well as everybody predicts. And then you got the Chargers in that fourth spot. They like you said, they just got a lot of young guys coming in. They're kind of the switching of the helm from Philip Rivers to either Tyrod Taylor or, gosh, what's the guy that they drafted?
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, thank
you. Justin Herbert, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it started with an H, but I was like, what was his name? But, yeah, I don't think they're going to do too hot this year. Yeah, so do you want to go to the NFC East?
Yeah, just real quick, I want to get into that Broncos. I don't know. I'm not on the Drew Lock hate. I loved him when he was playing at college ball at Missouri, and I thought getting him in the second round was an absolute steal. You know, I can understand hating a guy like Baker, Ben Roethlisberger.
I love Baker.
I love Baker too, but I don't know Drew Lock. I mean, he's just I don't know. I don't get that same vibe from him. I like him. I think he's got a big arm. I think he has a lot of potential. I think his max out potential is probably like maybe around I'm trying to think of a good quarterback. Maybe that potential like Phillip Rivers type range, maybe Eli Manning range right in there. I think that's his max potential. I think more realistically, probably Derek Carr type player just with a better system around him starting out. But, I mean, I just look at this offense. I mean, you got Phillip Lindsay. You added Melvin Gordon. They still haven't really improved the whole line a lot. But then receiver, you got Cortland Sutton, who I think is one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL.
They drafted Jerry Judy too, right? Yeah.
Jerry Judy. You got Noah Fant. Albert, I'm going to butcher this. Albert Ogunigwa, whatever. Albert O from Missouri, who was like a second or third round pick as a number two tight end to go with Noah Fant. So I just think this offense is going to put up a lot of points. Losing Von Miller, they won't be able to stop some people. But, yeah, God, I can't handle, man, you're hating on the Steelers and the Broncos, man. Those are two teams I'm high on.
Sorry. NFC East.
NFC least. Oh, man, I sadly had the Dallas Cowgirls winning it. I think adding Mike McCarthy, they're the best coach team. Well, I won't say best coach team. They're the most talented team in that division with better coaching than the Clapper Jason Garrett. I definitely think they win that division. Talent, you added CeeDee Lamb. The offensive line is going to regress some. They have, I think, Lael Collins went on IR. But you still have Tyron Smith, who has some injuries. Zach Martin. The defense is better. They did cut Gerald McCoy, which I didn't like, but he was hurt. Mm-hmm. Then you added Everson Griffin to go with DeMarcus Lawrence. The only part of this defense I don't like is the secondary. You have Chidobe Awuzie, but cutting HaHa Clinton Dix, I definitely did not like, but they cut him. Yeah. I'm still waiting for them to sign Earl Thomas. They sign Earl Thomas, I think they're a contender. But right now, I just think they're a good offense with an average defense. So I think they win the division. Eagles, I got finishing second. I think they could be a wild card team. I think Carson Wentz finally stays healthy the whole year. Hopefully his receivers can stay healthy. The defense is still going to be good. Third, I have the Giants. Watch out for the Giants this year, though. I know that they hired a coach that wasn't a hot hire. You know, Joe Judge was a special teams coach. They caught a lot of flack for hiring him over some other coaches. But watch out for the Giants. I think Danny Dimes, man, I'm high on him. I think he has a great sophomore season. You have Saquon. Their O-line is better. Adding Andrew Thomas there. Their defense isn't going to be great, but I think their offense is going to put up some points. And their receivers are low-key underrated. You have Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, and Darius Slayton. So, and then Evan Ingram's going to be there. Hopefully he can stay healthy. So definitely watch out for the Giants. Then last I have the sadly Washington football team. I did a show with some of my buddies from school, and I actually picked them to beat the Eagles this week. And that could be their only win of the season. They're not a great football team, but I believe they have a top 20 defense in the league. Just Dwayne Haskins is not going to be a franchise quarterback, and their offense is not going to be good. So,
really, I'm kind of opposite on you on that one. I think Dwayne Haskins is actually finally going to come to his own at some point. I don't know if it's going to be with the Washington, quote, football team, but I think he'll, at some point, I think he'll step up to the occasion, either get traded to a team or get cut and then sign with another team and be able to elevate. Yeah, I'm pretty even with you there. I got the Cowboys. I mean, I think Mike McCarthy's going to do great things there. I like Mike McCarthy a lot. I couldn't stand Jason Garrett, so anything better than Jason Garrett, honestly, you could put a trash can out there and I'd still like him more than Jason Garrett. But yeah, I think it's going to go Cowboys, Eagles. I like that they got Jalen Hurts. I think that once Carson Wentz does get Hurts, as he always does every season, he'll be a nice fill-in for the Eagles. And then Giants, I think they're just a little bit better than Washington. So that's how that's going to go. Thoughts on the NFC North? I know me and you were kind of talking a little bit before this show started, kind of given who we're thinking is going to win this NFC North. And we both were kind of like, we think that people aren't going to be surprised by our picks. So do you want to start off with who you got, Bryce?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely going to shock some people here. I got the Detroit Lions winning the division. I think their defense is going to really shock a lot of people. Matt Patricia, a defensive guy. And then they have Matthew Stafford coming back, who was hurt last year. He had the whole offseason and extra time to recover. So I think now he's going to be healthy this whole season. They drafted DeAndre Swift. They also signed Adrian Peterson. So their backfield is now loaded with those two and Kerryon Johnson. Their offensive line isn't terrible. Their defense going to be underrated, like I said. So I definitely like the Lions winning this division, although I do think the Lions at 9-7 or 10-6 will win this division. Second, I have the Minnesota Vikings. I think they have I think they have the best roster in this division, but I also think they probably have the third best quarterback in this division in Kirk Cousins. So I think the limitations at QB will hurt them, and also trading away a guy like Stephon Diggs will hurt them. I know they drafted Justin Jefferson, but Thielen more of a possession route runner type of a receiver. Really complimented Diggs well, because Diggs could take the top off of defense by running down the field. So it'd be interesting to see how their offense rolls. Not very high on Dalvin Cook this year. He's having the contract issues and health. But I got the Vikings finishing second. Third, I have the Packers. Mm-hmm. I think they could be a wild card team. Their success is going to depend on their defense and Aaron Rodgers. They didn't draft any weapons. They drafted his replacement instead. So depending on how his ego is this year, I think depends on their success, and I don't think their defense is going to be good. And then last, I have the Chicago Bears. I think they're one of the bottom five teams in football. Bears. They have a nice defense, but Trubisky or Nick Foles playing quarterback, don't like either one of those. Me personally, I would play Foles over Trubisky. I think Trubisky's terrible. I think he's washed. I would have just went with Nick Foles and basically benched Trubisky and been like, "You're not. We didn't pick up your fifth-year option. You're not on this team next year. It's time to just rebuild." I think Foles gives you a better chance to win now.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm actually pretty much right on the money with you. I got the Lions. I've always been a huge Matthew Stafford guy. I always feel like he's either not had enough weapons with a good defense or not a good defense with too many weapons. So, and not the right coaching staff or scheme. I think Matt Patricia is a great head coach that they brought in there for the Lions. He won them a lot of games last year that they didn't think that they were going to win. So I think that they surprise a lot of people this year. I think they come out and they win this division. Vikings, again, I'm a huge Kirk Cousins guy too. I know everybody hates him because he sucks on Monday Night Football, but I mean, you don't play Monday Night Football every weekend. So if you can get it done on those other Sundays, then more power to the man. I think that he's going to have a great year. Average year as he always has. Yeah, I think that they're going to do okay. I think they're going to slide into that wild card spot. Packers, I think the Packers are just a huge mess waiting to happen. I have a feeling because Aaron Rodgers is this type of guy that he's going to say something in the middle of the year that's going to get him in trouble with the Packers. Packers are going to get mad at him and either trade him before the deadline or something like that. I know a lot of trading before the deadline is not really a big thing in football, but depending on where they're at, I think they might just cut their losses midseason with him if he's not being a great team player. And then coming in fourth, everybody's surprised, the Bears. Trubisky's just not their guy. Foles isn't the guy for the future, but like you said, I think he's their best shot to win right now and get at least maybe 2 to 3 wins. But if you just lose all 16 games, you get Trevor Lawrence. So it's a win-win scenario. So it's a win. It's a loss if you win, and it's a win if you lose. So headed on down to the NFC South, probably maybe arguably one of the most competitive divisions for that 1-2 spot. It'd be interesting to see how everybody on the Buccaneers meshes. But who do you got, Bryce?
Yeah, one, I have the Bucs winning the division. I think Tom Brady's got all the weapons. I know Mike Evans probably isn't going to play week one, but this defense was number one against the run last year, and they were also like dead last against the pass. But they did improve their secondary, adding Antoine Winfield Jr. at safety. Definitely, this is a slept-on defense. But this offense is going to be lethal, adding Tristan Wirfs to the O-line. They added Leonard Fournette, Shady McCoy to also complement Ronald Jones. I just think the Bucs are going to be too good. I think Brady at 43 is still a top 10, maybe top 5 quarterback in the league. Number two, I actually am surprising some people. I'm going with the Falcons. I think that the Falcons finished second in that division. I think Matthew Stafford has a bounce back year. They have Julio, Calvin Ridley. The defense isn't great, but I think that they could shock some people and really be probably the second best defense in that division. But I got the Falcons finishing second. Third, I have the Saints, and I know a lot of people are going to, you know, be upset, but I think Drew Brees regresses. It's his last year. They're going all in. I just don't see the Saints being a top five team in the NFC. I think the Falcons are better than them offensively. I know they have Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. The Falcons also had a talk earlier. I didn't mention that. I think the Saints regress some. And then I think that they get rid of Drew Brees and they just kind of go to rebuild mode. I'm not a huge fan. Their defense is good. I'm just not a huge fan of it. They do have some good players. And then dead last, I have the Panthers, who I think aren't going to be a terrible team. I think they could be one of those middle-of-the-pack teams around 6-10 area, 7-9. I think Bridgewater is a game manager. And with that offense around him, I think with CMC and their receivers, I think that they can win some games with that. Their defense isn't great, but I can definitely see the Panthers being a mediocre team this year.
Yeah. I think it's kind of similar for me. I think we might disagree a little bit in those first couple of picks, but I think that when it comes down to the end of the season, the cream's going to rise to the crop, and I think cream's going to rise to the top. And I think the Saints, I just see the Saints winning this division. You give me a team that's got Drew Brees, multiple accomplishments. You got Alvin Kamara, who just signed a new deal. And you got Michael Thomas. I mean, what more can you ask for out of an offense? They got – Drew Brees is a guy that's always going to find somebody to pass the ball to. I forget – I think it was that stat last year. He, like, had so many completions to so many different guys. So he's just going to get the ball to people. I think the Buccaneers are going to be a close second. I think it's going to be a race to the end with the Saints and the Buccaneers. I don't think it's going to be one of those races that we can kind of call with 3 to 4 weeks to go maybe. But then I got the Panthers. I like Matt, what's his name? Matt Rhule. Yeah. I liked him when he was in with Baylor, and, he was just a great coach. He did great things there. I think he can turn the ship around in, with the Panthers and get him in the right direction. But I got the Falcons coming in fourth. I don't think that they're at where they need to be right now. I think that they have an attempt to make one more push with Matty Ice before his career is kind of done with. And I'm a huge Matt Ryan fan. He was my first quarterback that I ever picked in fantasy football. Him and Julio Jones, it was a great combination. It was actually Roddy White, not Julio Jones. It was Roddy White. Sorry, my bad. I think that got the potential still. I think Gurley was a good pickup. So I think 3 and 4 maybe could be another dogfight. But like I said, I think the Saints are going to win the division. Now on to the NFC West, where you could flip a coin and get four different teams. So, that could win this division. Who do you got, Bryce?
Yeah, winning the NFC West, I have the Seattle Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson is going to be in the MVP conversation this year. They have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. They always have about 10 different running backs who are good. I think the 49ers regressed some. And that's why I think the Seahawks propelled themselves to win the division, as they were close to winning it last year. So that, I like the Seahawks. Number two, I have the 49ers. I think with that defense, regardless of how the offense plays, that defense is still going to keep them in games. I know they did trade away DeForest Buckner, but I still really like this defense. Offensively, they got the run game, so it's going to be, can Jimmy Garoppolo just not screw it up and just be that game manager quarterback? And I think he can. I think they regress some kind of a Super Bowl hangover, but not enough of a hangover to miss the playoffs. Third, I have the Arizona Cardinals. I think what they're doing there, adding D-Hop, drafting Isaiah Simmons. I believe they drafted a tackle out of Houston, Josh Jones, in like the third round, who I was very high on. I thought he was a second round pick guy. But I think that they could be a playoff team this year. So then fourth, I have the Rams. Jared Goff, they're screwed up with that contract. They let Gurley go, had to eat some of that money. The defense has some nice players on it, and then where they're good, they're good, but where they're bad, they are bad at. They also have no offensive lineman other than Andrew Whitworth, who's about 50 years old. So I think they could be a sleeper team. I think they'll be better, but I still think they're in that kind of 6-10, 7-9 range.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of – here's the thing. Seahawks and 49ers are always going to be duking it out as of for the next foreseeable couple years for that top spot. I do like the Seahawks a little bit more than the 49ers. I do love the ground and pound of the 49ers, but that Seahawks team's just got a lot of talent on it. I'm a huge DK Metcalf fan. Guy's just – overproducing of where they got him at, and I thought everybody was going to think he was going to do that no matter where he was drafted, which I think he should have gone in the first round. But I think that they got a decent defense, they got a great offense, and I think those two things are going to win the NFC West for them. 49ers, they got a great defense obviously too. 49ers just wear you down. They eat a lot of time off the clock when they have the ball. They're a very old school style team, which is very prevalent to Shanahan's dad's years. So I think that they got a great team too. I would like to see Garoppolo throw a little ball a little bit more though. That was one thing that I think they could do a little bit better of, run a lot more nakeds or fakes out of it. Cause they just run the ball so much. So open that up, get Kittle open in space and, see what he can do with the ball. I like the Cardinals. I like Kyler Murray. They great addition in adding, Hopkins this last year. I think that they have a better year than they did last year. And then the Rams, like you said, I think the Rams could be better than the Cardinals, or the Rams could be worse. But you never know what Sean McVay has up his sleeve, so I don't really count them out ever, because you never know what type of scheme he's going to be coming up with or whatever he's got. So I think it'll be an interesting year. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand on the NFC West.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you just want to give Super Bowl picks or?
Yeah, real quick. I'm just going to recap my division winners. Just kind of go through each conference and say my playoff teams. So the AFC, the playoff teams, I have the Chiefs, Titans, Ravens, Bills. Then my AFC wild card, I have the Dolphins, Steelers, and Broncos. Then in the NFC, I have the Cowboys, Lions, Bucks, Seahawks winning the division. Then the wild card, I have the 49ers, Vikings, and Cardinals making it out of the NFC. So that's my 2020 playoff teams for both conferences. Not subject to change. I'm rolling with those all season long. So,
yeah. I think it just wild cards for me. I think the Raiders are going to make it on a wild card. And I also think I'm going to say Baker makes it to the playoffs this year. I'm just going to roll with him.
And also you have, I think this is the first year that we have seven teams making the playoffs in each conference too.
Oh, that's right. So I'll just throw in the Patriots because of Bill Belichick. What the heck?
Yeah.
And then in the NFC West, I'm going to go 49ers. I'm going to go Bucks, and I think you got to go Vikings or Packers, depending on whoever kind of gets off to a better start. I think the Packers could leap the Vikings. Just depends on how Rodgers plays.
Gotcha. All right, my Super Bowl picks. Now, this might get a lot of hate, but I think with this defense and this offense, they're going to make the Super Bowl, and here's why. Ravens will somehow get the 1 seed. Chiefs will end up with a 3 seed. They will somehow have to play each other in the divisional rounds, and the Ravens will beat the Chiefs, and then the Titans will beat the Ravens in the AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. And then the Titans will play, more than likely, either the Bucks or the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and they're going to beat either of those teams, as the Titans will be your 2021, what is that, Super Bowl 54, Super Bowl champs. Now, that's the fan in me. More realistically, I think it's Chiefs go back-to-back. But I would put money on that Titans scenario, honestly. But I think also realistically, Chiefs go back-to-back. I don't think the Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson is a fluke in the playoffs. He's a great regular season player, but just not going to show up in the postseason. So then the Super Bowl, I think, you know, first scenario is Titans, Bucks, Seahawks. Second scenario, probably Chiefs, Bucks.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of do two with you. I'm gonna kind of do what I think would be a great playoff, and then what I think would be a more realistic type. I think a great playoff game would be a great Super Bowl. Would be, as much as I hate to say it, I think this would just be great TV. I think it'd be awesome to watch. I think Patriots versus Tampa Bay. I think that'd be a great, great Super Bowl to watch. I think this would kind of answer a lot of the questions of who was the mastermind behind the Patriots. Was it Brady or was it Belichick? I think that would just get great ratings. I think it'd be really interesting. I think that the Buccaneers would win. I don't think the Patriots are going to have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. But in a perfect world, just to watch the game, just to see, I think that'd be a great game. And as much as this one pains me to say, I think Chiefs are going to go back again, like you said. But I think they're going to be playing the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're one of the top teams in the NFC. And I could see them finally kind of getting over that hump with McCarthy there at the helm.
Gotcha. I like it. Yeah, I mean, Cowboys, well, I think with McCarthy being the coach, they definitely have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl with that talent. Yeah. It's just going to be, can Dak, you know, can Dak be that quarterback that carries him this year, which will depend on if he gets a new contract or not.
Agreed. Well, we've been talking for quite a while there, Bryce. I think it's about time we call it an episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, enjoyed it. Hopefully we can get episode 3 out a lot sooner than it was episode 2. I know there's a lot of scheduling issues just between episode 1 and 2. So hopefully episode 3 we can get on next week. And hopefully every week we can start bringing these to you. Also, check out our socials and everything. I know it'll be posted on the podcast will be posted on Facebook, Twitter, and Spotify. So check us out. If you didn't get a chance to watch episode 1, you can always go back and watch that. Whatever you're listening through. So
awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.